Between the stirrup and the field, they called his name. There was a flash of sky through the horse's legs, so close to his face, before his shoulders sang out at the hurt, and his cheek on the other side slapped the hard grass and rang yellow lights through his eyes. He was tumbling and turning, curled in on himself and trying to breathe, and his name spun into a wall around the sides of the jolting paddock, first the linden tree and the house roof in an island of sunlight, and then, as his arms fell back against the earth, the stone pile and the gate into the woods, and then, while his face jutted along the grass and clods flew around him, the long shadows shuttling up the hill, all blurring under the horse's belly into a green and black and yellow wall that was climbing the sky. The earth was hollow beneath the runaway hooves. He was dragged on his shoulders now. He could see his boot in the stirrup that would not let go. But everything was becoming loose and soft. The wall that had grown from his name was a long sigh closing around him. The colors were fading. He felt his back spring outwards. He was almost as high as the saddle for a moment. And then he was staring at Willowar's front hoof with its bright new shoe, the 10 square-headed nails hammered in just last week, the 2 shoulder nails that Chris Lamont said did all the real work, the clinch nail, the clench nail. The clods were flying into the sky, the clench nail, heavy and feathered and black. His name was closing round him again. He was turning and turning. Behind his wide eyes he could see the worm gear of his father's press beginning to move, a dim shadow, the clinch nail, the clench nail. His father's hands must be gripping the wheel. They would count together. It took 7 turns, the clinch nail, the clench nail, to bring the rollers down onto the bed. The worm gear turned and ran downwards, yet it never moved. There were sounds like the school orchestra tuning up behind the wall and the shadowy worm gear. Something was creaking, something was twanging. And Daddy's eyes stared down through the wheel, pale blue eyes that stared down at the bed but could not see him. The clinch nail, the clench nail. Daddy's hands turned as if he was steering a car, and a wide, cold voice said, "One." The body brush was moving in quick circles along the horse's flank with a sound like feet in dry grass, leaving dark furrows on the sweat-drenched coat. The girl's hand was pale under the brush strap, and her face was pale against the horse's shoulder. In the gloom of the box stall, he watched his sister's face as he never had before, and saw how young she was, as though the 6 years between them had galloped away and more, and he had grown older than her. She worked towards the horse's rump, following the grain of its coat with her strokes, dipping into the contrary whorl of hairs by its haunch. Her breath was held in as she brushed, as if the one thing on her mind was to do this job perfectly. But the air in the barn was charged with madness. The edges of things seemed ready to crack. The horse's eye rolled back at her as she worked down its thigh. The nerves in its skin leaped away from the brush and sent tremoring waves through its leg. The smells in the barn were like parts in a music. They wove and surfaced through each other and flowed and broke apart. Willowar's breath blended in with the hay and manure, but his sweat cut into the air like his staring eye and conjured the taste of leather and sour brass from the tack room. Around Skye's face, the pale fragrances of her bedroom, dove and finesse and teen spirit, with piss and the broken straw by her feet. She was scouring the brush with the curry comb in short, angry strokes away from her body, standing below the high, dusty window. When she dragged the brush hard across the crib rail, the horse edged away from her, trampling the cement floor, yanking at its tether. She turned through the hollow alarms of its hooves, speaking softly, to soothe. She said, "Willowar, Willowar, easy now, easy." And then Willowar became a lament, and she went crying, her arms to the horse's neck, tugging the great face down against hers. The gelding's ears went back for a moment, and then his nose dug into her chest and lifted up gently at her armpit. Her cheek leaned against his, but her fist began to beat softly upon the blaze between his eyes. Her eyes were closed, the lashes dark and moist like a baby's, the smattering of freckles below them, the start of a dreaded blemish by her lip, the tiny bones of her fist. Willowar let out a huge sigh through his nostrils. She dragged the sleeve of her jacket across her eyes and brought the horse blanket from the crib, throwing it over him and unfolding it front and back. When she crouched at the horse's chest to latch the front buckles, he bent and nuzzled her crown, the wide soft lips straying across her hair. She ducked round under his belly, tugging the back straps up through the wide rear legs along the inside of his thighs. Skye, in her tailored riding jacket, with the velvet lapel flashes, her Christmas pride and joy. When no one was there but him, she would still canter instead of running when they went down to the barn. Skye wanted to be a horse.